Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to today's Sunday sermon. My name is Father Tom Casey, SMA, of the SMA Media Center in Dola, in Zambia, welcoming you to this program. Today we look at the Transfiguration, which the Gospel reading today is about. In our lives, we have high points and low points, and a lot of medium points. When everything seems to be very ordinary, nothing much is happening. I go to Mass on Sundays. My children are giving me trouble now and again. But generally speaking, life is quiet and nothing fantastic is happening. My work is keeping the lions from the door. And I'm keeping up with the bills as best I can. Maybe we wish there would be a real high in our lives, as the disciples experienced in today's Gospel. Peter, James and John are taken up a high mountain by Jesus and they experience an extraordinary event. Now we have to look at it from the point of view of what was going to happen to them in the very near future. It was very near the time when Jesus would be taken from among them and brutally beaten, and a mock trial and crowning of thorns as a mockery to his claim to be king. Then the journey with the heavy wooden beam which would make up his cross on the top of that hill of Calvary called Golgotha. All very low times to come for everyone concerned. But on this mountain, and it's known as Mount Tabor, is a very high point of joy and glory and majesty and clouds and a voice from heaven. Prophets of the past, namely Elijah and Moses, are there. Jesus' clothes beaming with a dazzling light and his countenance changed, reflecting his other nature in that he is God, the mastermind of everything that we know: stars, moons, sun, foliage, fauna, sea and its creatures. This is the one that is glorified and seen on that mountain. What the creed says about him could be viewed as a commentary on this very episode. God from God, light from light, true God from true God. So this high is not understood by the three standing by. Peter doesn't know what to say, and he tries to hold on to the moment by wanting to build three tents or tabernacles. Yet wouldn't we all want to hold on to that high? Suddenly, after the huge roar of thunder, which is God's voice, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And everyone is covered in cloud. All six of them. Then it's over. We are back again to this world. Why the Transfiguration? For that is what the Church calls it. We see it as being a help and a guidance to the apostles and to us even. We become aware of the moment of our lives when we are all capable of having a Mount Tabor experience, and that when remembering that, we are encouraged in any trials and challenges we may be going through. As Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio wrote in an article called "Faith and Mountaintop Experiences, / Transfiguration," and I quote, "The five senses are wonderful gifts from God, but they are limited nonetheless. Often we make the mistake of thinking that reality is nothing more than what our senses perceive it to be. So God gives us occasional mountaintop experiences, glimpses into realities that our senses can't normally detect." End of quote. But it doesn't guarantee that we won't have suffering and death to go through. In fact, it's because we will go through these not so nice experiences that we are encouraged to face them, because of our Mount Tabor experiences. And we can take them on like we would when we go into battle and face an enemy. He submitted to the lashes and beatings and nails and false accusations and spittle, just as we face in our lifetime. His submission, meaning Christ, is our answer. Total trust in his Father in heaven, even to the point of death. It's a secret that very few accept or contemplate. But somehow we are carried along, and I believe most of us find that secret of surrender to God's will at a God-given time. It all reminds us that things are not always as they appear to be, but that we must walk by faith, not by sight. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio writes, and I quote, "Jesus is always divine, regardless of his everyday human experience. Jesus is always accompanied by saints and angels, even when he appears to be alone. It was the entire Trinity who opened the eyes of the man born blind, even though it was only Jesus' hand we could see touching the man's eyes." End of quote. And we likewise are in the influence of that Trinity and company of the saints. In heaven there is a collective Alleluia among the communion of saints when we achieve some good deed, like helping the poor, visiting the sick, forgiving our enemy. Likewise, there is great sadness when the devil tempts us to look down on our past achievements and say, well, it was just an ordinary thing that we did. It has been great what we have gone through and seen in our lives, and let us realize that. It helps to give power to our batteries again and spurns us on to the future, no matter what the future holds for us. Maybe we think it can't be me that can achieve godlike experiences. Who can be like St. Andrew or St. Francis Xavier or any of the saints that we revere? But it can be. Why can we? Because it is not us who are in control, but Christ the Lord. Of course, we allow and we choose to submit to the Lord, and then all these things are possible. "You will do greater works than I have done," said Jesus, to climb up with Jesus on the mountain and stop with him, to be more attentive to the voice of God and to allow oneself to be enveloped and transformed by the Spirit. Don't ever doubt Jesus's tremendous efforts to touch you with a Mount Tabor experience. Wait for it, and then never forget it. Never play it down. But the vehicles by which Mount Tabor happens are our sincere prayer, reception of the sacraments, good works, repentance, and humility. May God grant us many Mount Tabor experiences. May God bless you and help you to have a lovely Sunday. This is Father Tom Casey, SMA, of the SMA Media Center in Dola, signing off now and wishing you a beautiful day and a lovely week to come.